It is great to be with you this morning. I'm incredibly excited to be here. The Hawkins and the Hammers are out with St. Charles, but it gives me an opportunity to come in and kind of talk about what's going on with us, and to let you know what's going on with God, and to get a chance to talk a little bit about good soil, although I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to work that one in. Just to be fair. But we have been in a parable. We've been in parables all year. And the great thing about parables is that they are by design meant to disrupt you as a listener. They're not meant to be easy access. They're meant to catch you off guard, force you to look at yourself as though they were mirrors, but then force you to look at the world as though they were windows. So that you're always either seeing yourself in a new way or you're having to see the world in a new way. But however you hear it, in any way, parables leave you changed. So listen. A farmer went out to sow a seed. And as he went, he scattered his seed and some fell along the path. And birds came and ate it up. He sowed some seed amongst rocky soil, which sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, they were scorched because they had no root. Some seed fell along thorny ground, which grew, but because it had no room, the wheat was choked out. Still other seed found good soil. And it grew to produce 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. He who had ears, y'all better listen. When Jesus was alone, his 12 and others came and asked him about the parables. Why do you speak to the people in parables? And he said to them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those who are on the outside, I always speak in parables. As it is written, though they have eyes, they never see. And though they have ears, they never hear. Otherwise, they would see and they would hear and they would turn and I would forgive them. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables? Let's pray. Father, we come before you wanting to understand your ways. We so desperately want to be good soil. We are here to figure out what do we need to root out, what do we need to weed out, what do we need to plow, what do we need to do. And yet, even by that sense of self-examination, we can somehow miss the overall point of your story. Father, we are in your story. We are this soil that we honestly didn't have a whole lot of choice in the condition in which you threw the seed at us. And somehow we have responded. And we've joined in the unlikely role of being a farmer ourselves, just trying to scatter seed wherever we go. Father, we're not even really sure how it all is supposed to work. And so, Father, as we think about this today, this moment when the disciples who were told that they were insiders are now being confronted with the fact that they, even though they're inside, they still don't fully understand. Father, help me speak to that tension today. And help me to use this current situation that we find ourselves in as a guide for how you sometimes work. Father, I pray that for those visiting, that they would sense that this is an unusual type of message. And yet will give grace so that they may hear the gospel so that you may proclaim a word worth receiving. God, we love you and pray this all in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Parables always have a plot twist. This one's not so subtle because it's a pretty straightforward story, but that in and of itself is the plot twist. The kingdom of God of which all these people are coming to hear, being compared to a poor farmer. How do you know he's poor? He has no means to irrigate the very field he's trying to sow. He is living off whatever he can harvest. He doesn't have time. He's not like the prophet Elisha. You know, Elijah found Elisha, who was kind of 12 yoke of oxen. We're not talking about farmers that have it going on. We're talking farmers who cannot afford to be too particular on the soil they're giving the seed to. They need every seed to have a chance to sprout and to produce fruit. That's what the kingdom is like. You're not allowed to be discriminate. You're not allowed to make conditions perfect in order for the optimal growth to happen. Your job is to throw seed and just let the soil be the soil. You be the farmer who doesn't have the option. Anywhere it can go, there's a chance the seed might take root. That's what the plot twist is. The kingdom is like a sower who goes out to sow his seed. Crazy! It's not supposed to go down like that. They know what it's supposed to look like. It's supposed to look like a king coming in with an army, doing some work on Rome. That's what it's supposed to be like. It's supposed to be like guys marching in a row, armed to the teeth with the glory of God in their front and back. But instead, it's a guy with a bag of seed. Too poor to even till. Just going, I hope it grows. I hope it grows. I needed to see this story through that lens because it seems that there was a plot twist in my plans that I did not see coming. I saw it on a distant horizon as a big maybe. You know, at the beginning of the year, I was feeling so grateful to be here. Because I found in St. Louis something I didn't know I needed. You know, in 2018, we were approached with the reality that Chicago was going to have to make room for a missionary that they had sent out and promised, if anything goes wrong, you'll come back and we'll make room in the budget for you and your wife to stay here. And in 2018, reality was the Simmons needed to come back from Poland. Well, that made every regional leaders meeting a little awkward as we sat across the table and said, there's only one level of salary that can make room for this couple. And we were approached because they were approached. Vince had taken over the position here and looked to the north for like, hey, listen, how do you lead a family of churches? I want to do this well. I've never done this before. Been in the heartland forever. Love the heartland. Know everyone in it, but we're transitioning to a new role. How do you do it? And of course, they hear this input saying, what a great heart. But instead of giving advice, they say, do you want somebody? And of course, Vince's response is, why? Did they sin out of the ministry? Of course, the answer was no. You guys looked at me like, oh, so that explains it. But then as we were approached, we thought, man, what an incredible calling. Yeah. To go down to a city that we had only been here for conferences for and to help. It didn't hurt that our children had been looking at KU, so we were in the same family of churches as our kids were going to be in. It didn't hurt that our friends, unbeknownst to us, had already become best buddies with the Sullivan kids. They didn't even realize they had grown up in cribs together way back in Albuquerque. I remember the time my daughter walked into the Sullivan's house, and she's just kind of bebopping along, and Tink looks at her and goes, Kristen? And she's like, no, that's my mom. Not realizing the depth of relationships, and we just kind of took this all as, man, it's a sign. We are supposed to be here. Yeah. But it really became obvious that we were experiencing kind of this John 9:7 moment where Jesus was telling us to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. St. Louis is a lot like that. I think sometimes God sends people here so they can see how much healing they really need. Because it's one thing to be blind, but it's quite another thing to go through life not realizing you're blind. And as we answered a call to go, one of the huge blessings was, because of the love of this group, because of everything we got to endure together, because of the chaos of all the things that were happening in the world and here in St. Louis, we got a chance to bond and to work and to kind of go throw our hands up and go, well, I guess it's up to God. Let's just try to make the best of every situation. I love that Kathy reminded all of us about the teen camp that we had during COVID, which I'm sure was illegal to do. Thank you, parents, for being so haphazard and so Missourian in your convictions. Just like, I know the government shut us down, but our kids should play together, you know? And thank you. Just crazy. And we built so many great memories, and I did not realize that in the midst of this, I needed a moment to kind of breathe. And we found our breath here. The breath of God. Something that kind of filled us back up. And as it filled us up, it kind of allowed us to really start dreaming about the real reason that they thought, hey, man, it would be great for you to come here. Why? Because we have this group out in St. Charles. Even as we were interviewing here, this dream was being placed before us with the elders and with the Hawkins saying, we want St. Charles to be a thing. And then, of course, that got sidetracked for obvious reasons. But it was just in the sense, but I'm not sure without that sidetracking, we would have been in a place where we could have done much good. Because we needed the whole family. We needed your faith. We needed to be reminded of what's good about being a church. And as we got a chance to start this work, all of a sudden, we were approached about a need to the north. And this isn't the first time we had been approached about needs in the kingdom. The answer was always real easy to those. We were approached by a sister church. And it was just kind of like, would you consider having your name in the hat? And of course, we were like, well, that seems like, yeah, that's what we should do. That's what we've always done. That's how we always are. Just the way we felt about, hey, would you want to start St. Charles? Well, of course. I mean, why not? Let's do it. Let's do something crazy. Let's be available. And so as it came out, you know, we got asked, we went and we interviewed, and then we didn't hear anything. So we just assumed. We just assumed, okay, we're trucking. Things are a go. But then two Sundays ago when they offered us the position, you know, it made us a lot like this guy. You know what I'm saying? You're happy. You're sad. You're happy sad. You're not really sure. It depends on which eye you look at. One looks like he's been drinking. The other eye looks like, yeah, he might be okay. I don't know. He just seems like he needs a hug. He just really does. But I really think that as this reality started coming, we had to get back to, well, what is this all about? It's about this reality that you have been given this amazing solution to everything. You've been given the secret. You have a king who can command and lead your life. You have something that you can turn to that will help you and never leave you, that will serve you and always call you higher, that will give you grace, but grace in such a way that it moves you to give grace to others. So much forgiveness that you can't help but pour it into others. It's this reality that you have been given the secret. But then this expectation of, don't you understand? If you don't get this parable, how would you get any parable? And like those disciples, I feel that tension a lot. I'm glad I'm in the know, but I really don't know what to do with the know. And then you have these moments where God makes something somewhat clear to you. Because as I was thinking of St. Charles, there was a larger role that I was also considering in my own walk. You know, St. Charles for me was a personal ministry that I was excited to get going. But it also meant that I was going to be able to start leaning into a role that has always been secondary and not necessarily primary, where I would kind of switch the evangelist hat and start to put on the teacher hat more. I'd start to write a little bit more. Not that I would ever publish, but I would at least write. I would start to be able to dwell and nerd out a little bit more, which didn't hurt my feelings at all. It kind of made this role. And then all of a sudden, as this opportunity started coming up, I kind of felt like, oh no, I'm in a crossroads. But then I was like, oh good. Because now God gets to decide how he wants to use me. Now, this is an opportunity where I don't have to choose under my own strength and understanding. God's going to make it clear. You know, and so I just kind of had this moment where I was like going, okay, I'm either going to be able to play more of a teacher evangelist role, or I'm really going to have to play the evangelist and then teacher role. And so I found this psalm, which is a good soil psalm. And this psalm really discipled my heart through this whole time. It says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will never be shaken. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge, my salvation and my honor. That was really purifying for me. Because I think so much that I trust in God completely for my salvation. I am so aware I couldn't earn it even if I wanted to. I literally have to depend on God for my salvation. I take communion with a lot of gratitude every Sunday because I realize even on my best day, he has every right to send me straight to hell with no explanation. I know that from the bottom of my soul. My salvation depends on God. But what about my honor? What about my glory? What about my rep? What about? And all of a sudden, this psalm kind of said, Bill, as you approach this crossroads, you better leave it to me. And quit trying to daydream about which one will do more for you. He was asking me to surrender everything that I might strive from. The very things that could prove to be thorny were trying to wrap themselves around. And this need to try to power grab in a moment where there was an open door. Maybe I should just grab onto it. All of a sudden, I found myself being warned, hold on, slow down, because God is my rock. He is my refuge. My salvation and my honor depend on him. And as we think about good soil, isn't that what we have to get back to? The psalm goes on to read like this. He says, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. Power belongs to you. And oh man, I felt pressure to take matters into my own hands. To kind of snatch power out of God's decision. And just decide for them. It was tempting. In some ways, it would have been easier on everyone. But the psalm kept speaking to my heart, saying, you better just let God be God. Amen. Why? Because you know the secret. But I'm convinced you're not totally clear on the process. Because your instinct is to grab on for power and to grab hold of it, or to let it go so you don't have to worry about it, or to take your name out of something that I put your name in. And I needed that second half of the verse. I don't know about you guys, but with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what. So how I respond to whatever the decision is, that's what I'm accountable for. And yet, this is true for all of us. This is the journey of the soil. This is the very thing that as we look in the mirror, we kind of go, you know, what am I really in control of? I'm only in control to the response of what God seems to be bringing my way. For better or for worse, whatever he brings our way, we have to just roll with it. That's what I'm held accountable to. You know, that's why we love how much these guys are still serving, even though all their plans fell through. And don't you dare pray that we end up staying. Face Mom prayed that we would stay in Chicago and our house didn't sell for a year. Because when Kelda prays, the Lord listens. And so please don't pull a Kelda. But even if that were the case, how I respond is what we're being asked of. And so we're left with this. Man, it sounds like a great plan. We'll get out that window. Greatest ending of a movie ever. Now what? You know, and I think that's where we're at in our journey right now. We're in a situation of we have to trust God. But I want you to know what this whole process produces in the larger picture. One of our top priorities in the transition is to make sure Kansas City knows how much they're loved by St. Louis. And whatever historic challenges may have been there, boy, today, we have put an end to all those, because there's nothing this church would hold back for itself. You're a place that heals. You're also a place that sends when the time is called for. And God seems to keep providing those opportunities for you to play that role. So now what? Now we wait in great expectation, knowing that power belongs to God. We wait in expectation, knowing our salvation and our honor belong to God. We wait knowing, not on our hands, but in our hands and our bags of seed, walking around going, I'm not sure where this is going to land, but I know one thing's for sure. I'm going to make sure it's scattered everywhere I go. That is the legacy we're being called upon. This whole sermon series was to get us back to the reality that we have only one part in the parable. And that's to join the farmer. We have our own soil that we have to deal with, but I'm telling you, that's not the whole goal of this parable. It's to join the dream. and you see the expectation of our Lord, there are those that are inside that have been given the secret. And just because you're on the inside doesn't mean you always get it. But you know who to hang on to. And so let's scatter seed. Let's let God be in control. And let's trust in God for our own salvation and honor.